Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, are these give the other team a head start games that require heroic comebacks becoming a concern for you and your team, Tom?
Well, I think that, you know, ultimately the game is 60 minutes and you got to play it all out. And there's games where we really haven't started well. And I mean, most recently in the last few weeks, and there's games where we haven't really played well to start the second half. So, you know, ultimately we're going to have to play 60 minutes to beat, you know, the best teams. And, you know, we got four huge games here coming down the stretch. And, you know, this is really a time of year where we got to start putting it all together. So, I mean, we got to get the job done when it counts, and we found a way to do it yesterday. But we also realize, you know, it ain't perfect, and there's plenty of things that we've got to do better and more consistently. So, that's just the way it is.
Have you heard or heard about Houston defensive end Antonio Smith's comments that imply the Patriots were spying or somehow cheating to pull off that win yesterday?
Yeah, we saw it, you know, when we landed, you know, everyone's kind of turned on their phone after the flight and was looking at the scores and stuff. So, yeah, we saw it.
What do you think about it?
You know, truthfully, we just played a little bit better in the second half. We kind of been through a lot of this before, so I don't really think much of it, truthfully. I just kind of have moved on. I was already started work on the Browns and trying to figure out a way to play those guys better and get off to a better start. But Houston was a really good team, and they played well, and we certainly didn't play well in the first half to get us in that deficit. And they got a good defense. They got good cover guys. They with Watt and Antonio Smith. I mean, they can really rush the quarterback. So it was a tough game, you know. But we found a way to win on the road, which was something that we talked about all week.
What happened at halftime, Tom? I know we ask you this every time you do this, come back in the second half. But do we overrate halftime adjustments? Is it a matter of adjusting on the fly after every series, or does something magical happen in your locker room at halftime that doesn't happen in every NFL locker room?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know really, you know, obviously what goes on in those other locker rooms. I think, you know, if you have like a bad first drive, you know, you don't really come over to the sideline and go, all right, guys, we got to change everything. Let's scrap all the crap we've been practicing all week and, you know, just start making stuff up on the fly. But I think by halftime you have really a good enough sample size to figure out how the game's being played, the things, the matchups that go in our favor and the matchups that don't go in our favor. Maybe there's some new things that they've done that we've got to adjust to. But ultimately, you know, after halftime, you know, when you get a chance to kind of evaluate and say, okay, well, how did that half play out? You've got to be able to say, well, let's stick with it and stick with what we're doing, kind of what we did against Denver. Or last week, you know, we said, okay, well, these are some of the things that we're going to get to, and, you know, these are the matchups that we like, and we got to start making the plays that we're capable of making, because you could call the perfect play against the perfect defense, but if I make a crappy throw, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a non-productive play. So I know it's boring, but, you know, execution is the name of the game. And, you know, I thought we did a good job there in the second half of trying to figure out. They had a few new things that they had implemented for our game. I mean, they really, they definitely, you know, did some different things than we were expecting, but nothing that really blew our mind. It was just different, and we had to adjust. And then the execution ultimately was better in the second half than it was in the first half, obviously. I think that was a major difference.
I mean, you scored every time you got the ball in the second half until the series. And the first series of the third quarter, you scored in 2 minutes. I mean, just it went right down their throats and seemed like a light went off. Why were you so effective in the third quarter and the fourth quarter? What did you do then that you didn't do in the first half? Just trying to understand what changes from one half to the next.
I think we were just a bit more explosive, and there were less, you know, it didn't feel like we were going, first down, second down, third down, first down, second down, third down, first down, second down, third down. I thought it was, you know, first down, second down, first down, first down, first down, second down, first down, you know, which, you know, at times we haven't been our best on third down this year. So to get to situations where we didn't have some third downs, which was really an execution thing, you know, that's what really, you know, was a good thing for us that we were able to do. We just became, I'd say, a little bit more explosive by, you know, trying to get the ball in the hands of the guys that, you know, were hot, like Julian, like Gronk, obviously, like the running backs, and trying to do some things on our terms. They had some different personnel groupings. They were trying to match us. We were trying to match them. You know, but ultimately, we got to be able to run our best plays versus, you know, what we think they're going to do. So we just did a better job of finding our matchups and executing the plays that were there. I think the big pass play to Gronk there on the first drive of the third quarter was big. We got a good matchup, and we took advantage of it. So, you know, he did a great job running and catching and running with it, and then, you know, got the ball to Shane a few times. Danny made a couple plays. So, you know, everybody contributed, which was, you know, a big key.
Edelman has, I think, 9 catches each of the last 2 weeks. He's on pace for like 95 this year. I wonder, has he always been this good and just has never had really had the opportunity with Welker around other guys, or has he gotten better? Has there been a big leap in his play for the guy that you call, I think, was it Minitron? Is that his
Minitron.
Nickname?
Yeah.
Minitron.
Minitron.
Yep. Minitron had a good game yesterday, and he's been consistent and dependable, and, you know, he's always had a great skill set. It's just been a matter of him getting the opportunity and then, you know, staying on the field. So, you know, there's been a few years where he hasn't been able to finish the season, but when he's been out there, he's been productive. So, you know, this year's been a great year for him. He's really taken to his leadership role. I mean, he's just done a great job really cementing his you know, dependability, which, you know, really what you're looking for on offense. So he's become a real dependable player for us, and his ability to get open and catch the ball and do something with it, you especially see that on punt returns. But, you know, for a guy to get the ball in his hands and then make as many plays as he's making has been, you know, huge for our team, especially with so many guys. You know, KT was out yesterday. Dobson was out yesterday. Danny's been out for a period of time. Boyce hadn't played. Collie was in there for a little bit. Gronk's been out, but the, you know, Shane's been out, Ridley's been out, you know, so the one dependable, you know, player that's been there every week that we've really been able to count on has been Julian, and that's, you know, a role that he's really, you know, relished, and, you know, he's really taken advantage of that opportunity.
Tom, you had so much time on the touchdown pass to Gostkowski, nobody was even near you.
Gronk.
And I'm sorry, Gostkowski, Gronkowski. Does it ever feel, because I know there's a clock going off in your head, uncomfortable or unnatural when you have that much time? I don't know if you understand what I'm getting at, but does it ever feel weird when you have that much time and you don't have to throw the ball until you're ready to?
Yeah, definitely. And because I don't move around much, you know, I try to move in the pocket and keep my eyes down the field. So, you know, a lot of times you feel the rush, you don't see the rush, mm-hmm. and then, you know, when you have time, there's definitely times where I can sense that no one's around. Sometimes if they run the guys by the quarterback, then I get a little, not anxious isn't the word, but because I lose vision of them behind me, I mean, you don't know if they're going to come around and hit you from behind or strip sack you. So mm-hmm. if I can just feel everything in front of me, it's fine. If, you know, once they get behind me like they did on that play, which our line did a great job all day. I mean, the way those guys protected against one of the best fronts in football was, you know, was just awesome. So that was one play where I had a lot of time, and it was actually kind of a route adjustment by Gronk, who made a great play to kind of turn up the field and head toward the end zone. So that really wasn't the design, but it worked out that way.
Did you think he was going to make the catch, or did you think it was too low?
It was an incredible catch. I mean, it wasn't a great throw, and he's just, his ability to reach down and catch the ball and keep his balance is unlike anybody else that I've ever played with. So, I mean, his ability in general and the presence, the attitude that he brings is unmatched for our team. So, he's a big key to our offense, and when he's out there, you know, we do a lot better, obviously. And the most important games are ahead, so we'll
let's see what we can do.
I know a certain officiating crew that would have called that uncatchable.
I know. Well, hopefully we don't leave it up to officiating crews many more games. They, we've had a few of those this year. So, but we did, you know, yesterday was a good game for us.
And I know, no penalty.
We had one interception. We had pretty much penalty-free for the most part. One sack, and that was really just a communication error. But it was a pretty clean game, and we limited our mistakes. There were really no big mistakes, and then we took advantage of our opportunities there in the second half when we got them.
You know, I know we've talked to you in the past about what stats you like, you know, you're most proud of, what numbers on your page and you know, on ESPN.com that you look at. And I'm guessing that record in December that they talked about a lot on the broadcast yesterday is something that you're pretty proud of. Do you know your record in December offhand? Because it's amazing.
I have no idea.
It is 42-6. How did you manage that? How do you manage to such off the charts success in the month of December?
Well, look, we've had, you know, great teams over the years. So, I mean, truthfully, our record in a lot of the months is probably going to be pretty good. You know, based on the way that our team has played and risen to the occasion and risen to the challenge. And we talk a lot about, I think the biggest thing is Coach Belichick, he stresses improvement from our team every day. So by the time we get to the latter parts of the year, you know, our team, our margin of error is usually better than what the other teams is. And that's because we put the work in the spring and the summer in training camp in the early part of the year to really make the improvements. And when we get to December, you know, we're playing at a much higher level than we're playing in September. So I think that's the most important thing is our ability as a team to meet the challenges of our coach, to meet the challenges that of the opponents that we face. Like I said, you know, I said last week, the mental toughness, the discipline, the work ethic, this is when those things really start to matter. I mean, like in September, opening game, you know, there's no analysis from the other team. You know, every team has hope. You know, by this time of year, look, there's a lot of teams that don't have much hope. So, you know, we're one of the teams that are fortunate enough to do that. And, you know, we got to approach this week, you know, with more urgency than we have approached any week because this game is much more important than the last game. So I think that's the most important thing. And that's why, you know, Coach Belichick is such a great coach. And the other coaches that we have on our staff can complement, you know, Coach Belichick's style so well. And the players, you know, they find a way to show up every day to work trying to get better and make improvements so that by this time of year we're doing things that we do best and we're doing them at a higher level than we were the last few months.
Hey, Tom, before yesterday's win, the Patriots had lost three straight on the road. In fact, your last win on the road was September 29th in Atlanta. Beside the obvious of the crowd and the environment, why is it so difficult to win on the road? Because you say it all the time. Road wins are hard to come by.
They are, and it's probably, you know, the communication is the biggest issue. So, you know, there's maybe a few, you know, every game comes down to a few plays. And, you know, for example, that sack that would happen, you know, before halftime, mm-hmm. You know, if we're playing at home, we probably get that communication right. And then, you know, it's not a sack, and we got a chance to convert on third down. And then maybe if we convert on third down, we can get the ball and possibly score a touchdown. I mean, I know it's one play and it's one drive, but if there's two or three of those in the game that end up being stops instead of points, you know, you lose the game. So there's less margin of error. So your communication needs to be great on the road. The communication from sideline to the huddle, from the huddle, and then getting to the line of scrimmage, and then post-snap communication. I mean, that's the biggest issue. So getting all the communication right so that you can be really efficient is to me the most important thing.
You talked a little bit earlier about hope and how some teams just don't have it. When you come around December, their season's over. You guys, since 2001, have never been in that position. Every game you've played, even the years you missed the playoffs, 0-2, the year you were hurt, that final game of the year, you were in playoff contention all the way through. You never played a game not being eliminated from the playoffs or being in the playoff hunt. I guess my question would be, because no other team can say that, what's the difference if you could pinpoint one or two things? What is the difference?
Well, we've been lucky to have some great players and great coaches. And I mean, that's the truth. That's not, I mean, the coaches put the players in the position, and the players got to go out and do what the coaches ask us to do. And that's, like I said, on a daily basis. So, you know, injuries always play a factor in the seasons, and, you know, key injuries at critical positions. We face that, but I mean, we found ways to overcome those, but we don't make excuses. We just move on and say, okay, every team's dealing with them, and we got to go out and try to overcome them. So, look, we're very fortunate to be in that position. We don't take that for granted. And, you know, we talked about Thanksgiving, you know, being thankful to have the opportunity to compete like we're able to do, because, you know, we're not 2-10. I mean, I've never had that feeling, and I don't ever want to have that feeling. So, you know, we just got to keep working hard and try not to put ourselves in a position where that's the way the season could end up being. But, you know, that's up to the coaches, that's up to the players, and we've just been, we've been in a pretty good situation here for a number of years.
You know, Tom, it was an incredible weekend of football, as you know, from beginning on Thursday right through till last night. But I'm going to tell you the most exciting, like, 40 seconds in football. It's when a team scores to pull to within one with no time or very little time on the clock, and the coach holds up two fingers. When you saw your guy, Brady Hoke, hold up two fingers, hey, were you watching it live, and what did you think? Did you stand up and applaud? Did you want to kick the extra point?
You know what? We were on the airplane, and on our flight, they had those TVs. The only channel they didn't have was ABC.
Yeah.
So we all had Wi-Fi, so we were watching, like, the GameCast on our iPhones or iPads, whatever anyone had, and it showed the score, and, you know, we were watching it the whole way, and then I thought, they scored, unbelievable, like, we're going to overtime, and then I see game final, 42-41, and I was bummed out. So, you know, it takes some balls to do that, I'll tell you. And I guess, you know, I didn't see most of the game, but I guess the way that the defense was playing there in the second half, you know, they are averaging, I don't know, like 8 or 9 yards per play. So, you know, you got to take a chance to win it. And you know, the Wolverines had a chance against an undefeated team. So that was an incredible outcome. And then the Auburn-Alabama game, we saw that play. That was crazy. So, I mean, that's football, and that's college football. And that's pretty incredible. And to see it, we were kind of joking, you know, when the Auburn fans stormed the field. And, I mean, that if that ever happened in pro football, I mean, how incredible that would be. But, you know, it was a pretty good week for football.
Two quick ones from me, Tom, as we wrap this up. Number one, does James Devlin's second and third and fourth and fifth effort get guys fired up in the huddle?
Yeah, that was awesome. And he's been – talk about another guy who's been so dependable and consistent for our team, and the role that he's played has been huge. And he's played more and more as the season's gone on, and he's just done a great job with his ability to do the right thing when his number's called. So I'm so happy for him. He's worked so hard since he got here. Last year he worked his butt off. In the off season he worked his butt off, and is talk about a guy who's taken advantage of his opportunities. And then to get the ball on the goal line and score, he got a critical third and one for us, and then I threw him the ball on an in cut that, you know, I've probably never thrown to him, and he caught it and, you know, ran up field and took a few hits. It was just It's a great thing for our team when that happens.
All right, we end with the quarterback question of the week brought to you by Crescent Credit Union. Here's the quarterback question of the week. What kinds of things is Bill Belichick writing on his little paper during the game?
That's a good question. I've never seen that paper. I know it's little. He doesn't really have a call sheet. It's usually the side of, like, a note card. So, he's always keeping notes of things that are going on, and probably – I don't know. That'd be a good question for him. I he's pretty diligent, I'll tell you that. There's nothing that he really misses, so whatever he's writing down is probably pretty important.
Do you assume it's stuff that he wants to remember to share at halftime or later in practice for the following week?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's and you know, he's always kind of focused on what we're doing defensively, so you know, all those things are probably come out. As a head coach, you got to deal with everyone, special teams, offense, defense, you know, the emotion, the morale, the, you know, going for two, things like that, punting on a short field, you know, whether we're going to rush, whether we're going to fake. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. So, you know, he's got to keep his wits about him the whole game.
All right, Tom, thanks for the conversation. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Tom Brady with Dennis and Callahan.